It's our habit in this place to open up the Bible together to see what that's got to say to us. And we have some Bibles at the back. If you don't have one, don't worry at all. Just raise your hand and one will wonderfully appear into it. And even it's one maybe freshly bound, because Wendy's been rebinding them this week as well, as many, many people have done great things to do up our building. And we usually go kind of through a whole book of the Bible, or just take a chunk of the Bible a bit at a time. So we've been going through Acts, we've been looking at Genesis 1 to 3 in our evenings for a while. This morning we've started going through the Psalms, a few Psalms. But tonight, for the first time in quite a while, I want to kind of do a topical message, just a series through the summer months. And you'll notice in your updates, by the way, and my bookmark's fallen out. There it is, right there. Dave, do you want to just hold up that little bookmark? There we go. Inside your update is a little bookmark. It talks about things going on in the morning and the evening. And the evening, do you know, see what it says there? The whole series is on doing life well. I thought, hey, that sounds like a great thing to, I want to do that, doing life well, whether it's August or September or July, that's our heartbeat. And so today is on starting well, and next week is actually not on walking well, it's on working well, but my handwriting is so bad that even my wife, who was putting that together, struggled to read it. So there you go. There's grace in abundance. But next week is on working well, and then resting well, and then on ending well, finishing well, and then even on dying well. So we have a lot as we're looking in these days. And next week as well, we have a very special man coming to preach for us. And he's coming to spend a month with us. And that's Dave Leach. So it's not even Tim Vellacott preaching next week, as he's down there on the update. Actually, next Sunday evening is Dave Leach, and he'll be doing the next two Sunday evenings while Laura and I are away on holiday. So pray for us that we get a good break as well. So thank you to Dave. I overlap with him for no time at all. I leave the same day as arrived. So please look after Dave and Rita while they're here. Bless them, encourage them, and it'll be great to see him when I get back as well. So that's where we're going these next few weeks. So what that means is I want us to turn to, three Bible passages this morning. So you're going to have to be fast-fingered here. And we're starting Colossians. Let's start in Colossians. You've got the page numbers up there, page 1183. And we're going to look at starting well. And we're starting back in a new building. And maybe even you're starting here tonight in other ways. Colossians, one of those little letters of Paul. Small in number of pages, mighty in weight and power. And it's Colossians 2, verse 6 to 8. Hope you've got it. Page 1183. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. It's the verse that often many in our church, in their early days as a Christian, learn that verse, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. In fact, we have a whole 2-7 group which is studying particularly that one little verse, 2-7, and how they can grow and be strengthened and build up in Christ. A great little passage. But it's not the only thing we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at a bit of Paul and the epistles. We're going to look at a bit of what happened to Jesus and how he started. Matthew, verse 3, chapter 3. And that's page 967. Matthew, chapter 3, page 13 and 4, verse 4. Okay. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Isn't that an amazing statement, just even having had that baptism this morning? As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So that's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Quite something, isn't it? Okay, let's turn back to Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, chapter 17. What's that got to tell us about starting well? It's actually particularly a reference to a king, but who knows? Might have had visitors here tonight who are royalty. So this could be important for you, but I think it's got something you'll see in principle for us all as well. We're going to look at verse 16 through to 20, page 196. Deuteronomy 17. This is Moses giving God's law to the people of Israel, and particularly telling them about kings. And this is what he says to the kings. "The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself, or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that of the priests who are like Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God, and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom, Israel." So why not put one of your bookmarks in like Deuteronomy 17, and maybe you can, as we turn back in, then you've got that in Matthew 3. You could put your update in that, and something else in Colossians 2. So should we, with those scriptures in mind, having just read them, let's ask God now to come and meet with us and speak to us through his word, that we would hear him and know him. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, in many different ways, different ones of us here are starting out this morning. Lord God, I pray we would start well. Lord, and although it's strange in an evening to be talking about beginnings, Lord, we recognize, Lord, that we need your help, whether at the end of the day or the beginning. Whatever stage we're at in our lives, God, help us this evening to be awakened afresh to the things of God. I pray that we would learn from Paul, learn from Jesus, learn from what Moses said to the people of Israel. And so, Lord Jesus, help me. I need your help. Help us all by your Spirit. Come, we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this time by having a testimony from someone who, as I've been just rubbing shoulders with him in recent days, there's something fresh going on in this man's life, a kind of an awakening. And you might think, which young person is it who's just something God's doing? Is it a time team member? Is it someone like that? And actually, it's John Bailey. And so can you encourage John Bailey as he comes up and just shares a story of what God's doing in his life? And maybe just as John shares, you might think, well, I'm not starting anything tonight. Is that right? Could it not be you who, like John, is going to just share? God could just begin doing something in you. So, John, thank you so much for being willing to share. Okay. So, that's the one.
Well, now, you probably noticed I came in a bit late this evening. I apologize for that. The reason was that the bus didn't arrive on time. But, you know, it's marvelous how the Lord overrules even simple things like that, because when the bus, my next bus, did come, it was jammed, packed, but a young student got on, complete with his huge, great suitcase. He sat next to me, and I had the opportunity of passing on to him one of our invitation cards to Holland Road. So hope and pray that he will join us very shortly for fellowship. Anyway, that's by and by. Now, one of my favourite TV programmes is off the air right now due to the summer break, which means, of course, that I get to bed that much earlier on a Thursday evening. I refer to David Dimbleby and questions program. David and his panel of experts, week by week, attempt to answer the questions that are flung to them from the audience. In various ways, they try to answer those questions, leaving quite often the questioner, completely baffled by the answer and wishing that he was also home in bed reading a good book instead. But there is an alternative program, a more serious one. Comes on at a different time during the week, mind you. And that is when prime ministers or their deputies also try to answer questions, or rather, I find that they try to avoid giving the answer to a question. Even simple words like yes and no don't appear in their vocabulary. So all this is bringing me now to ask a question of my own. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? Simple as that. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? You will certainly have problems if that old dog thinks to himself that because he's lived a long life and by now has experienced much of what life has to offer, be it the good, the bad, the successful, the failures, encouragements, and disappointments, well, the list is well nigh endless. If then he believes that he has seen it all and that now is the time to sit down in a comfortable armchair and leave the young people to get on with it. The sowing, the reaping, the ministry of general helpfulness. Leave it to others. Well then, if that's what the old dog believes, then of course new tricks may well be off the menu. But God doesn't see things quite that way, as I'm now beginning to find out. I can find no mention in my concordance of retirement or retreat from the battlefield. And certainly a recliner armchair does not come with the free bus pass. I wish it did. Of course, the Lord knows that age is no respecter of persons. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, is spot on. Outwardly, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. And right now, I want to be a little bit serious by way of change. About 4 or 5 months ago, I began to read a book by Billy Graham concerning the need for Christians to ask God for the gift of the Holy Spirit early in the morning, every morning. The book was a good 2.5 inches thick, rather like me, above the neckline going northwards. I kept it by my bedside for reading during the night hours. And it was quite a revelation to me. Soon I found that I was losing all interest in saving the planet by putting the lights out. In fact, there was a light coming on in my heart and in my head. But the Lord, of course, is way ahead of the game. He uses long life bulbs. And his will last for eternity. I am now also keeping a written record of the many, many references in Scripture of the inworking and outworking of the Holy Spirit. And that alone will take me some time, believe me. Brothers and sisters, we know that our salvation is a free gift of God to us, though it costs the life of his own dear son. So I now ask myself this question. Why has it taken me so long to realize that God had a second gift that's available all these years? I say it reverently, two for the price of one. To all of you, but especially to the younger folk, I say, don't wait until you retire. To all of you, don't wait until you expire. You need to claim the gift of the Holy Spirit today. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow, of course, is a mystery. But remember this, free gifts are subject to both time and availability. They don't last forever. These not earthly ones. If you really want to serve the Lord, or even come to know him in a deeper and more personal way, get real. Invite the Holy Spirit to show you how it's done. To all you silver tops, also, I am finding that age is, there's no upper age limit anyway. And I ask that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the living God, may fall afresh on every dry and thirsty one of us. He is the only one who can teach dogs of any age new tricks. The question now becomes, am I ready and eager and still willing to learn?
Thank you, John. And I hope it's made you think, yeah, I want to start something tonight. It's a new era for us as a church back in the building. Is it going to be a fresh era for you? If you're on the time team, this is a new era. If you were Grace this morning, this is a new era. If you're just about to go on holiday, it's a new opportunity. Tomorrow, Monday, will be a new day. How do you start these things well? Maybe you're even a new Christian. It's been great to see a number of folks in recent days who've given their lives to Christ. How do we start well in these days? How, if we're hungering for that fresh awakening in our hearts, how do we start well, new tricks, even if old dogs? Well, I want to talk tonight about just two things: receiving and resisting. Say that with me: receiving and resisting. One more time, just so I know you're going to be with me on this. Receiving and resisting. That's how you start well, you see, because I'm very bad at DIY projects. And I've learned even from DIY projects, like a simple IKEA, what have I just built for my daughter's bedroom? It's a shelving, thank you. Yeah, a little IKEA shelving thing. I've learned that actually I need to do two things with that. I need to, one, make sure that I resist all the other distractions of things I could do, and I resist diving straight in and just trying to do it my own way, and I actually need to receive the instructions. I need to read the instructions if I'm going to make progress with that, because even though I've had a degree in engineering, I tell you what, I'm rubbish at making DIY things. So typical man, some of them think I know how to do it, but actually I need to receive and I need to resist if I'm going to start that project well. And in the same way, anything in the Christian life, if you want to start it well, you need to both receive and resist. So let's talk first about what you receive. Let's receive, whether it's a new job, new day, new era, new holiday, you're a new Christian, or it's a new awakening in your life, as John Bailey was talking about it. Receive first, fresh focus on Jesus. Fresh focus on him. Look at Colossians 2, 6 and 7 again. And as you do that, I want you to see here in Colossians 2, 6 and 7 that it says this. It says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, what does it then say? Continue to live in him. You see, the way into the Christian life, which is what? Belief in Jesus Christ, that he died, as we remember at the communion table, that he died for our sins so that we could be forgiven and free in him. That wonderful gospel message is not only the way in, it's the way on in the Christian life. So the way in is the way on. Just as we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. So if you want to start well, focus on Jesus Christ. Whether you're a new believer, focus on him. Whether you're going on holiday, focus on him. Whether it's a new day, what was the song? Do you remember the song we had in the offering? Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Wake up each morning with a fresh thought, a fresh vision of Jesus. There's a man who's spoken here on a Sunday evening called Ken McGreevy, and he's challenged a number of our leaders to daily have a vision of Jesus before you, a fresh vision. Maybe like we were singing in that song. Love that new song, Sarah. Absolutely fantastic. That God can do greater things. A vision of Jesus, the conquering one. I was enjoying just the song we were singing before that as well, where this is Jesus, King of glory. You know, dying for me, the vision of this mighty to save one, my champion. What's your vision of Jesus today? And as you start your holiday, what's the vision of Jesus before your eyes as you start your holiday? Or as you go back to work tomorrow, or start a new week, what's your vision of Jesus that you have before you? So many wonderful things about our Lord. And at our communion table, we have a chance to just pause and get fresh vision of him to receive. To receive from him. Before we do or go or be, to receive from him, about him, about the risen Jesus. We've been doing some mission in these past couple of weeks and months, and often if we're out doing things together in the community, we first come together and do what? We have devotions. We receive again. And one time, Andy Pitt from Wales, a pastor that we partner with in Wales, from Merthyr Tydfil, he was down here on mission with us. And do you remember who was there the morning when Andy Pitt did the devotion? Do you remember? Andy had this thing of like Jesus as the cornerstone, the keystone. And he said this, he was holding on to a whole bunch of kids, because they were kids serving as well. And he had a whole bunch of kids this side and a whole bunch of kids this side. And he had this thing that without Jesus, everything collapses. That's right. And he let go of all these kids and they went, oh, and they all fell to one side. It was brilliant. Without Jesus, everything collapses. If you and I don't receive afresh, daily or at the beginning of whatever we're doing, a fresh vision of Jesus, everything collapses. He is the cornerstone. He is the center. So receive it. Receive afresh tonight, even a fresh vision of your Savior and your Lord. And maybe even you don't know him as your Savior and Lord. Well, he is. And I pray tonight that as we go through this service, you will begin to see him for who he is. But next, and John really spoke on this powerfully, receive a fresh filling of God's Spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift, but boy, is it a vitally important gift to know that you have in your life to the full the Holy Spirit at work in you. Look at Matthew 3 with me again and see here what happens with Jesus. It's just great to note that Jesus is always obedient to his Father, and he's baptized, and that's a great starting thing in the Christian life. But what I want to draw out here is verse 16. That as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. Now, Jesus was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's a sense here in which to just like to show us that baptism was important, here in the same way to show us that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In the same way, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry here, as he starts it, there's this visual sign to Jesus and probably to his disciples and people around as well, that it's the Spirit he needs. The Spirit was descending upon him. And at that time of anointing, and John, maybe you can testify about this as well. I know in my life I can, that when God's Spirit comes upon us afresh, it does this business of affirming us afresh in God's love. Look what happens as the Spirit descends on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And at the beginning of the day, the beginning of a new job, the beginning of a holiday, to know the Spirit's anointing on your life and then God's affirmation of you, Mike and Sarah, that he loves you. Just to hear that at the start of the day or the start of a new era, that he loves you, that he's for you, that you're special to him. To really grasp that. You know, what else do we need in life other than that? That instantly sets us in a place, but we need to hear it. We need to receive it. And God's Spirit does that. God's Spirit speaks truth to us when the enemy would come to speak lies. We'll get onto that in the second bit when we resist. But we need to resist the longing for the affirmation of others, or longing for trying to prove ourselves. We need to get straight off, whether it's at the beginning of our Christian life or anything, that we are valued in God's sight, that he loves us so deeply and that he wants to fill us and give us that gift. You know, God loves to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who come to him. In Luke chapter 7, where it talks about asking and receiving. In fact, it's Luke 11. Luke 11, where it talks about asking and receiving. It says this: "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And then it goes on and says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" I look around and see some dads. I don't think you do that. "Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil," and by that he means we're not good like he's good, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" See, he's a generous God, and he wants, whatever you're starting, he wants to give to you of his Spirit, of this wonderful thing that John could come up and stand here and say, the end of his life, after all that he's doing. John's 85, I hope you don't mind me telling them that. But I tell you what, John, it's just been a delight to see you receiving afresh from God, and then the outflowing of that into the lives of others, and mission in Wales, or around this community, on that bus this evening. Just the outflowing of that out of John's life. But come to him and ask first. Come to him and receive all that he wants to give, his power, his strength. In Ephesians 5, it says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And it talks about the verb there is be filled and go on being filled. And in Acts, as we've seen, it talks about the Spirit of God coming and filling us and us receiving that. But then it talks about them praying and crying out to God and then being freshly filled again. And I want to encourage you, whether you've been a believer for no time at all or for many years, this night, receive afresh this gift of the Holy Spirit that God wants to put into your life. fresh focus on Jesus, fresh filling of the Spirit, fresh food from God's Word. Food of God's Word. You know, in Matthew 4, back there, where Jesus is anointed, he then faces temptation and challenge, as so often we do in our lives. And you know what he says? He says this in verse 4 of that. He says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God." Where are you getting your sustenance? What are you living off? Is it this wonderful book that's more than a book, that's the Word of God that can nourish our souls? Do you remember how the kings were meant to start? Do you remember in Deuteronomy 17? Do you remember what they were meant to do? Look back with me at Deuteronomy 17. As the king was starting out in verse 18, as he begins his kingship, how does he start? Well, it says this in verse 18, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, so that's the start, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, what's he to do? He is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. I don't know if you realize, but when you first become king, it's quite a busy time. Quite a lot to do, quite a lot to acquaint yourself with, probably lots that you want to get on and do. And if you know anything about the law at that time, it's quite long, and you probably have to write it out pretty carefully, not type it out on your fast laptop, but it was worth the time for the king to do that. Not just worth it, it was what he should do if he wanted the rest of his reign to succeed. To start well, he needed to feed off this. He needed to let this book grip his life. I went for a walk the other day, and I was actually in the grounds of one of these kind of National Trust places, and it was Monday, and it happened to be closed on Monday. And I was just trying to get some time with the Lord and just think and pray through some things. And I was walking up around this property because it was shut, and I was just finishing a walk, and I ended up bumping into these two senior folks. They were kind of retired, but you could tell they were the kind of people who didn't do retirement very well. But they were there sitting, taking up this beautiful scenery, and I just stopped and said, "Isn't it amazing?" And as soon as they opened their mouths, I knew they were Christians. And I said, "Well, I'm actually here just walking and praying." And they said, "Oh, we're Christians too." And I said, "I could tell," because they just had that sparkle in their lives. And you could tell they're the kind of people, like Jonah, just always looking to touch people's lives. So we got talking, and it turned out they'd been in a Baptist church as well, and roles of leadership. He was a GP. You might even know them. They might even turn up one Sunday. I invited them anytime. They're Norma and Philip Elwood. So there you go, Norma and Philip Elwood. And I said to Philip, I said, "Have you got any advice for us as a church? You know, what is important as you've seen over the years? You know, I'm always keen to learn." And he said, "You know what we've discovered?" Do you want to know what he's discovered? "You know what we've discovered," he said, "so many Christians in churches don't read their Bibles." He said, "Keep reminding them to read their Bibles." And I thought, hey, what a great word. It's God's word. Are you reading it? Are you allowing and receiving from him his word daily? On holiday, can I say, what better thing to do than to read his word? Tomorrow, what better thing to do as we begin in this new era as a church? What better thing to do than read his word? And the thing about God's word is a bit like the manna in the Old Testament. I don't know if you know much about that, but here's what happened about the manna. This is a bit from a book called Hungry for More of Jesus. I think I might have even read it out before, but it just is worth being read out again. It says this: "The bread of God is dispensed daily just as manna was to the Israelites." The Bible says God gave his people manna to humble them. They were not humbled because it was poor man's food, for it was in fact angels' food, as one of the Psalms says. No, they were humbled because they had to seek this food on a daily basis. It reminded them that God held the key to the cupboard. They were forced to wait upon him and acknowledge continually that he alone was their source. Christians today are humbled in the same fashion. God is telling us that what we ate of Christ yesterday will not supply our need for today. We need daily manna. What you ate yesterday will not supply your need for today. What you feasted on even this day won't carry you through the month of August. Come and receive the instructions. Remember the DIY project. This is the instructions. Come back and feast and read his word. Let me just practically give you some pointers here. Take time to do it. I emailed a friend of mine who just last week gave his life to Christ. It was really great to see. And I just texted him saying, one of the things I'd said to him the other week was, I said, just, you know, do read your Bible. And I thought, you know, he might not know where to start or what to do. And I texted him this week saying, why not just read 5 minutes from Luke? And just start there, just 5 minutes. Just read a paragraph from Luke's Gospel daily. And just go through it bit by bit. And maybe you're thinking, well, I want to read this book. Where should I start? Read Luke's Gospel and daily get that vision of Jesus. And just ask yourself, okay, what can I learn about him today? Just take 5 minutes to do it. And it can change your entire day. Or what about using some study notes? There's some great things available. Dave is sitting behind here. He runs a Christian bookshop, and he'd love to help you out with some study notes. Or you can get a whole stack of stuff online. You can even go to our website and find out daily readings and things like that that can be downloaded off the web. Have we got that up here? So there's our website. And if you go to a bit that says Start Your Day, there's links for Word for Today or Daily Bread or My Utmost for His Highest. Things that you can just, even at your, as you arrive at your desk at work 5 minutes early, you can just put it up, or in your coffee break, or even before you start the day, you can just get something out of God's Word and even use some of the great men of the past that God has used to open up his word in those kind of ways. So, receive. Do you get that point? We need to receive. It's what John was saying that is just vital. Receive from God. You can't do new tricks. You can't start well new things if you don't first receive from him. There's a guy, George Mueller, who learnt that in all the things in the day, the first and greatest priority of his life was to get his soul in a happy place with God. He said it wasn't what he could do for God or be for God. The first thing he needed to do was get his soul in a happy place with God. I would say a hearty amen to that. I've discovered if I want to start a day, start anything new, just start preaching, whatever it is, start holiday, the most biggest need in my life is to get my soul in a happy place with God. It's hard to do sometimes, but actually it's worth every bit of time that I spend doing it. Start well. Receive. Receive fresh focus on Jesus, fresh filling of his spirit, fresh food of God's word, and resist. Receive and resist. Okay, you ready for this? We're going to spend less time on it, but resist first the world. The world. In Colossians 2, you might have noticed it said this. It said, you can turn back there with me if you want to. It said in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. The world about us kind of tries to squeeze us into its mold. It has its ways of doing things, and they're not God's ways of doing things. And the world will try, right from the outset, on any day or a new holiday or a new job, the world will try and squeeze you into its mold. The world is urgent. The world is noisy. The world is visual. The world is popular. And the world is hollow. The world is hollow. It's empty. It says this will fill you, and it won't. Look what it says back here. See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive through philosophies that have their thinking not in God origin, but in human origin. This is faulty filling. We talked about fresh filling we need, God's Spirit, but this is faulty filling. And you know what is tragic? So many of us fill our lives with the world and the world's way of doing things and things of the world or TV from the world or just books, or we think that a holiday is soaking up the world. A holiday is not soaking up the world. A holiday is allowing God to soak us up. Fill up with him. Don't get into faulty filling. Don't try and run into the world with that, seeking the world's affirmation. Let us be just full of him. So the first thing we need to resist is the world. The second thing we need to resist is the flesh. You can probably see where I'm going with here. Turn back to Deuteronomy 17. I see those Bibles rustling. This is going to be worth just seeing here. Deuteronomy 17. Thank you, Sarah. There's some things here that the king needs to resist. He needs to receive, as we saw, but there's some things in verse 16 and 17 and 18 that the kings need to resist. And the first is he needs to resist horses and Egypt. And what's all that about? None of us are going to fall into that trap, surely. But actually, what he's got to resist there is the hunger for power. Power. It's a great thing that particularly can grip people. And then it says next, you must not go about that way. Verse 17, you must not take many wives. We live in a city that's obsessed with sex. The hunger for sex. Again, that won't satisfy. Don't resist that, or his heart will be led into evil. And then he must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold, money. This nation, this part of Europe that we're in, is obsessed with money, with acquiring wealth. Power, sex, money. These are the kind of the sins of the flesh, the things that within our sinful nature we desire because we think they satisfy. We think they're food, and they're not. They're cheap. They're faulty food. They're faulty food. Power will not satisfy you. So many men have had power and have found it empty and unsatisfying. Sex, if people were just hungering after sex, it doesn't satisfy. It's empty at its heart without that covenant relationship of marriage that it's meant to be in. Money. Again, it doesn't satisfy. You know, you read of these celebrities with their millions and they're not satisfied. Where did we find our satisfaction from? Well, remember, we received it from God's word as this free gift of his food for our souls, daily manna. That satisfies. So, not faulty filling from the world, not faulty food from the flesh, from trying to satisfy our sinful desires, and lastly, resisting the devil. Because here's the thing I want you to know, and get this really clear, the devil does not do timeouts. The devil does not do holidays. The devil does not do, you're having a rough time at the moment, I'll back off. He plays dirty, he fights mean, and he will, at the beginning of things, try to come in. Look at, back with me, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 4. And just see here how, you know, the beginning of Jesus' ministry here, right at the start, and even that the Spirit leads him out into the desert. So this is even God's way. It's not that he did anything wrong. That's something we need to realize about temptation or the attacks of the enemy. They don't signal that you've done anything wrong necessarily. And actually, he was there fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. That's quite something. That was probably a real spiritual, you know, time for Jesus of prayer. And in that time, he was hungry. And that's the point. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Just sowing, as the enemy so often does, seeds of doubt. And the enemy will come to you when you're tired and hungry, when you're just beginning stuff and you're excited and thrilled. It doesn't matter which. The enemy will come and he'll try to sow seeds of doubt and of lies. And you and I are called to resist him. James says in his letter, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil. Resist the world. Resist the flesh. So what does that look like? If you're starting a new job, it means that you resist the temptation in that new job to try and please everyone in the world around you. And you say, no, I'm going to do things God's way. If you're going on holiday, starting out, what does that mean? It means you resist trying to find your satisfaction from having your sinful desires satisfied. You say, no, I'm going to resist that. If you're starting a new era, you say, no, I'm going to resist. You know, I'm going to resist trying to do things in my own strength because we're back at Holland Road and now it's all done. Or sit back. We're going to resist you know, those things. If you're a new Christian and the tempter's coming, the devil's trying to have a go, resist him. Make a concerted effort to resist him. Resist so you can receive, and receive so that you can resist. Do you want to just say that with me? Resist so you can receive, and receive so you can resist. Because this moment, right now, you can receive. This moment is full of opportunity. But this moment and tomorrow and whatever you're beginning, you're going to need to resist the enemy saying, well, it's too late today. Done what I'm going to do. You know, I've done everything I want to do in your life today. You need to resist all those things that will just crowd out Jesus and come back, not for faulty filling or faulty food or faulty focus on the lies of the enemy, but fresh filling of his word, fresh filling of his spirit, fresh focus on Jesus. Because this day, God could come and in a new way touch your life.